Please take your Bibles and turn to the book of Mark chapter 16. We will note here in Mark chapter 16 in verse 3 that the stone acting as a door to the tomb was rolled away. Brother Wutke read from Matthew 28:2, and it says, "And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door." May I say this, Jesus Christ did not need the stone rolled away. But the stone was rolled away so that we could see that the tomb is empty. Would you please stand at this time if you are able? And we'll read from the book of Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 5. "And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white raiment. And they were affrighted." Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day in which we honor the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we know, Lord, that as God, he was able to do this. Thank you, Lord, for all that was provided through the death of the cross, the burial, and the resurrection. We ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. We will continue reading from verse 6, Mark chapter 16, verse 6. "And he saith unto them, be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter, that he goeth before you into Galilee, and there shall ye see him, and he said, as he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, and they trembled and were amazed, neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. After that he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And it says in verse 15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. May I quickly say this, that the disciples would not have gone and evangelized if that Christ had not risen from the dead, but because they had seen the risen Savior. And seeing for them was believing. The Creator God made the heavens and the earth in 6 24-hour days. And Genesis 1:31 says, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. When God created everything, and you may want to turn to the book of Genesis chapter 6, when he created everything, it says, and it was very good. There were no Airwigs or mosquitoes or thorns on the roses. There were no weeds. There were no dandelions. There was no sickness. There was no disease. It was very good. But let us read from the book of Genesis chapter 6, beginning at verse 5. Genesis 6, verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Do you think if God was able to respond, well, he is able, but if he were to tell us about 2018, would you say he'd say the same thing? That God sees that the wickedness of man is very great upon the earth. And that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowl of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. What happened? Why was it good in chapter 1 and then in chapter 6 the Lord is grieved to his heart and is contemplating destroying the world? One word. Sin. Why illness? Why diseases? Why pestilence? Why famines? Why death? Sin. Why immorality? Why lewdness? Why unfaithfulness to spouses? Sin. Why murders, massacres, war? Sin. Why theft, looting, white-collar crimes? Sin. Why hatred, racism, anger, violence? Sin. Why drug abuse, alcoholism, depression, suicide? Sin. And sin separates man from God. Well, when what was needed? A remedy? A redeemer? A savior? John 3:16 tells us, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. He came not so that we would have Christmas gifts and Christmas trees and Christmas lights. He did not come so that stores could advertise and make great sums of money at the Christmas season. No, Jesus Christ came for one reason, and that was to die for your sins and my sins. And how dare we say that if we are good enough, God has to let us into heaven? Nowhere in Scripture does it ever say if you're good enough, he'll let you in. What he says is that I have come to be a ransom. I have come to purchase your salvation. I have come to fulfill the need that you could not do. The book of Romans chapter 5 verses 8 and 9 says, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. We cannot save ourselves. We don't know how. But the Lord can save us if we accept him as Savior. Ephesians 1:7 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. We are redeemed because of his shed blood, not because of anything that we have done personally. Titus 2:14 says, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. Christ died for us 1 Peter 1:18 and 19, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish, without spot. If you would, please take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 3. We've already stated that about verse 16, but we would like to read with your watching verses 17 through 19. If you don't have a Bible, there are Bibles available there in the stands there where we keep the books, the book racks. But John chapter 3, beginning at verse 17 down through verse 19. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. And then we'll read verse 36. May I say this? Religion will not get you into heaven. We got plenty of religion in the world. Do we have peace because we have religion? No. You know how we can have peace in our world? It's by people turning to Jesus Christ. That's why we can have peace. And it says in verse 36, and he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Why would the wrath of God be upon those that do not believe Jesus? Because God died for you. And when you reject God's gift of salvation, you will pay the penalty. Yes, we serve a living God and a loving God, but we also serve a holy God who hates sin. But you should be glad that he loves the sinner and he has provided a way of salvation. In conclusion, let's not have any applause there. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you would, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I did not know how much time I would have to preach this morning because of the fact that the choir was singing extra songs, and with Dr. Mark talk doing his thing, you never know how long he's going to talk. And we had everything else that was going on, and so I have prepared enough for the time allowed because I'm a professional. But aren't you glad we serve a risen Savior? Beginning at verse 15 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 16. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that sleep. Now is Christ risen from the dead. As we sang, up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. Roger Campbell writes, the strongest evidence of the resurrection of our Lord may be the changed lives of those discouraged and doubting disciples. After the resurrection, they traded their fears for faith and their focus from death to life. Those who follow their example will find strength to cope with each problem they face, unquote. A number of years ago, when my mother had been put into hospice care, We were over here at Henry Ford Hospital. And the hospice woman came in to talk to my mother and ask her if she knew exactly what was happening and what lay ahead. My mother began to tell her of the peace of mind she had because she had accepted Jesus Christ as her personal Savior. And she told her that when one knows the Lord as Savior, they can have peace when that day comes that you're going to pass. The hospice care worker, as I have told you in the past, sat there weeping as my mother tried to give her peace. We that know Jesus Christ as our Savior have a peace that the rest of the world does not understand. We may not want the pain of death, but we understand what lays beyond. I do realize in a world that has been inundated with the teaching of evolution, and that we are here by chance, and when we die, we're nothing more than a dog. There is no peace. There is no comfort. But there is something beyond this life. There is heaven, or there is hell. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can spend eternity with Him in heaven. But unfortunately, if you have not accepted Him as Savior, you'll spend eternity in hell. And you would say, well, how could a loving God send anyone to hell? A loving God has provided a way of salvation so you do not have to go to hell. And you have no excuse because you've heard that a Savior has been provided. And the most important decision you will ever make in your life is that of Jesus Christ. You will either accept Him as your Lord, or you will say, well, later time, or I don't need Him, or some other way. Let's go to the book of Philippians chapter 2. We'll read verses 5 through 11. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. God came to earth. God walked on this earth. And there was one purpose that he came, and that was to die. And verse 8 says, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Stop reading for just a moment. You know, many times we think of Sunday as the weekend. You do realize that Sunday is not the weekend. Sunday is the beginning of the week. Sunday is the first day of the week. And the reason that we worship on Sunday is because Christ arose from the grave on a Sunday. And it says here that wherefore God also hath highly exalted him. If God exalts Jesus, do you not think that we as men should exalt Jesus? That we as women should not also exalt Jesus? And hath given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Shall we stand together? We're going to have a time of invitation. That simply means it gives you an opportunity to come and pray here at the altar, or you could even pray there where you're sitting. But if you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, we'd like to give you an opportunity to come and deal with somebody here at the altar who would be glad to show you from the Word of God what you have to do to accept Christ as Savior. Maybe you just need to get some things right with the Lord today. Maybe as the disciples were fearful in the upper room when they should have been out there at the graveside waiting for Jesus to arise from the dead. Maybe you just need to come and pray and get some things right. And as we pray, we just ask that the Lord will be blessed. Dear Heavenly Father, as we have this time of invitation, we ask that the Spirit would move, that, Lord, you would touch that heart that is closest to hell today. That, Lord, you would touch the heart of each and every believer here, that they would be willing to serve you even more fully. We ask, Lord, that your will would be done. And we ask this in Jesus' name, and again with thanksgiving. Amen.